The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, though, we move to these rumours circulating in Kerry that social housing is being allocated first to non-Irish people. Local councillors want to counteract this rumour by having the nationalities of those who are awarded social housing released. I'm joined by Labour TD for Limerick City, Conor Sheehan, who is also the party spokesperson on housing, and Pather Tobin, leader of the Aintu party. And thank you both for joining us. So, Conor, if we look at this story in the Examiner today, what's being said by the councillors is that they have no information at hand to counteract these rumours, which are constantly coming up, it would seem, on social media around social housing in Tralee and Killarney. What do you think of this idea that there would be this information release, that people would find out what nationality the people are who are getting social housing?
Good morning, Claire, and a very good morning to your listeners. Firstly, before GDPR was adopted and when I first started on the local authority in my own county of Limerick, it would have been common to actually get the name of a person who was allocated social housing, so that if you were a councillor or a TD that had made representations for somebody, you would be then told if and when that person received an allocation. And obviously that doesn't happen anymore. But I don't think that this is the solution to the issue that the councillors are trying to highlight, because first of all, I think that when you look at local authorities, in particular those outside of Dublin, they're in smaller areas, and we have had an awful lot of tension in the last while in relation to issues around race and immigration. You saw what happened in Belfast last week, and I think the broader issue is that there's so much misinformation going on in relation to people putting stuff on social media about people being allocated houses. I deal with it myself the whole time as a constituency TD, and I think that the solution is to counteract that.
But is this not the way to do it? Like, how do you counteract it if you don't have the information?
Well, I suppose the first thing I'd say is that anybody who gets a social housing allocation has been deemed that they are entitled and eligible to receive that allocation by the local authority, that they fit out the criteria. So I don't really see why the local authority should be then forced to release their country of origin, whether it be Ireland, whether it be another EU country or beyond. I can't see what purpose that serves.
Perhaps it's a bit like the proposed social media ban for under 16s. It absolves once again the social media companies from dealing with misinformation which is published on their platforms.
I agree with you completely. I think the premise of your question there is 100% right. We have a huge issue with social media companies in relation to disinformation. And anytime anything goes up about housing, say, for example, a minister might launch a social housing development and the comments under it are absolutely disgusting. And I suppose this is something that we have been dealing with very recently as a party, because obviously we had our candidate, Councillor Helen Ogbu, in the Galway West by-election. And the amount of misinformation and the amount of disgusting racism as well, Claire, that was posted under Helen Ogbu's social media content. And it was all reported to Meta, and none of it was actually ever taken down.
Yeah, it's just, I see your own councillor here in Kerry, Marie Maloney, saying that she wants the nationalities of people who are getting social housing because she can't counter the argument that's being put forward on social media. She says, I can't defend what I don't know. So she thinks it's a good idea.
Well, I suppose I understand what Marie is trying to say there, because what she wants to do is to actually be able to go back to these people on social media and say, no, the person who was allocated the house was entitled or eligible for it. But I don't think going down the line of releasing the ethnicity or the country of origin or nationality or whatever of people who are receiving social housing in a small area like Kerry is the solution. Okay. Because Kerry is a small area, and I think the people would be relatively easily identifiable, and I think you could have an issue there with GDPR.
Well, let's bring in Pather Tobin, leader of Aintu. Good morning to you, Pather. Thanks for joining us on this one. What do you think of this idea that there should be a list of the nationalities of people who are awarded social housing? Would it cause more trouble?
I disagree with Conor. I think we should be transparent and open and provide information to citizens and policymakers. I think misinformation, excels in the petri dish of a vacuum of information, and hiding information from people only makes them suspicious, only pushes them towards the ne'er-do-wells who do want to push a racist agenda in this country. It's impossible for policymakers to make proper policy if information has been withheld from them. And, you know, we do have a housing crisis in this country. It's important for us to be able to analyse all the elements of that particular crisis. The crisis is as a result of the government not building enough houses. But there is significant demand on houses at the moment. And some of that demand is coming from people who are moving into the country. It's a basic economics, it's basic physics. And that if you bring 70,000 people into a country every year and you don't build the infrastructure for them, well, then you're going to increase rents, increase prices, and make it more difficult to get access to those homes.
But Pavi, you can see the issue. You know, even if there are a couple of non-Irish people on that list or people who are from countries, and you'll see under these proposals, the countries listed, that would cause disharmony, despite the fact, as the housing director in Kerry says, anyone allocated a house by Kerry County Council is a qualified applicant. Trouble would be caused, wouldn't it?
So there's two things there. There is disharmony already in this country. And I think a large part of that disharmony is coming from a lack of information. And there is this kind of attitude among some people in some of the political parties that actually it's better that people don't know what's happening in the country, and it's better that we keep the information from them. And that has proven to be incorrect. The more transparency and honesty we can have with people, the better in relation to this. Also, in terms of policy, yes, these individuals have achieved all they need to achieve to get on the housing waiting list. But there are questions for policymakers in terms of, let's say, habitual residency. Habitual residency in this country is 52 weeks. So a person moving to this country after 52 weeks is entitled to social housing. That's very low in international standards. So, like, for example, Austria would have 5 years habitual residency. Sweden would have 3 years habitual residency. So it may be a policy decision that councillors and TDs need to make is to increase the length of the habitual residency in Ireland in relation to take the demand pressure off the system so we can get to some level of equilibrium in terms of supply and demand.
So you can go on that. Just to explain to people, you can go on a housing list if you've been living here for a year.
Yeah, exactly. So a person just moved here within 52 weeks can go on a housing list. And in some places, believe it or not, Claire, you know, they could be asked, do they have a property elsewhere? If they have a property elsewhere, they're not allowed a house in Ireland. But in some local authorities, people are being asked to self-declare whether they have a house elsewhere. And it's that type of information that is frustrating people who are maybe paying taxes for 20, 30 years and they're finding it difficult to get a local authority house here. So we do need to pull different levers to change things in this country to make it fairer for people in terms of access to housing.
Okay. Do you support that, Conor, that perhaps there should be a change in the rules around this, that you would need to be in the country for a longer period of time before you can join the housing list?
Well, look, the first thing I would say, Claire, is that government are actually bringing through the housing miscellaneous provisions bill at the moment, which is actually going to look at that issue of habitual and legal residency. But I mean, people have to already prove that they have a local connection to an area in order to go on the housing list in that area. And even if they get on the housing list, that doesn't mean that they'll necessarily ever get an allocation or get an allocation in a short period of time. It just means that they are eligible, that they meet the criteria for social housing. It also means that they meet the criteria for HAP. And I personally think that we should be very careful around tightening things up in relation to habitual residency, because we could end up with an unintended consequence of more people actually rough sleeping. And that's where my position on this is. And I agree with Pater completely in the point he's making in relation to the government not building enough social and affordable housing. That is the key issue here.
But what about what Pater says about this disharmony comes from a lack of information? The more information that is out there, the more people will believe what politicians like you and like your councillors are telling them.
Well, I would argue that a lot of this disharmony is one coming from a lot of disinformation that's there, particularly on social media, that doesn't get countered. And I agree with the need for more transparency, but I would just caution that and say that individuals who get a social housing allocation also have a right to privacy. And if you're looking at a small enough area, like say Killarney, which has a total population of less than 20,000, if you publish the nationalities of people who receive social housing allocations, I, by my estimation, they would be fairly easily identifiable. And that's what my concern is.
Well, what we don't want to see, Pather, are scenes replicated like those that we saw in Belfast over the last week or so. And that's potentially what you could be looking at here.
No, so what happened in Belfast is absolutely disgusting. The idea that we have people being burnt out of their houses, young children being, you know, forced into to back of police vans to get out of harm's way is disgusting. And, you know, a lot of people blame social media in relation to those. But loyalists have never needed social media to burn people out of their houses. You know, we've had burning of people out of their houses for generations in the north of Ireland. Unfortunately, and it is part of a culture of a very small sector of society in the north
just,
of Ireland.
I don't know if it was just loyalists engaged in that behaviour.
It was the majority of people who were engaged in that behaviour, Claire, were people who burned tricolours on bonfires, and that's the truth of it. Now, there were, I'm not saying that on certain protests or certain roundabouts that people weren't gathering from across the community, but in terms of those, it's very well known that it is one background that's involved in that act of situation. But my point is this, you know, we say to people that we need to get rid of disinformation, but disinformation thrives in a vacuum of information. And, you know, there's nothing to create suspicion as adults being told that they don't need to know, that they're not being, that they're not trusted with information.
Well, it depends on what they're going to do with that information. But if there's going to be racist attacks against those people who have rightfully been given a home, a social housing unit, then that can't be right either.
So 5 years ago, we in Aintu said that we needed a proper debate about immigration. And we said if we don't have that debate about immigration, it does not disappear. It simply gets pushed underground into the hands of those, you know, dark forces in Ireland who will use it for negative reasons. And I honestly believe that this idea that we withhold information, that we treat people like mushrooms in this country, that actually feeds the racism that's in this in Ireland. We need to trust citizens in this country in terms of educating them to what's actually happening. And the fact that elected reps, and this is incredible, like you have elected reps in Kerry County Council who've been told they don't need to know the components of the housing list in Kerry. Like the idea that elected reps are not being told who's on the housing waiting list in a particular local authority, it's simply wrong. How do you develop policy when the elected reps are being withheld information?
Going back to what you said, though, about, you know, your habitual residency, you have to 52 weeks in Ireland, that's what you said. But that's not the only criteria to successfully go on a waiting list, because you also have to have a long-term right to remain in Ireland. Less people listening think that that is the only box that you have to tick. It's not. You have to be allowed to stay and remain in this country, and you've gone through a rigorous process to get to that point.
No, you're right, and absolutely. There are other factors too, but 52 weeks is considered low in European terms. And there are pull-push factors in the terms of movement of people. Like, many migrants are rational human beings, make good economic decisions for themselves, and will go to countries where it is economically favourable to do so. And if Ireland has a habitual residence that's lower than other European countries, it will create a pull factor in this country. And we have a housing crisis. And that housing crisis is governed, and Conor's right, by the supply of houses, but it's also governed by the demand for houses. Both are equal players in relation to the difficulties that we're having. And to get to a sustainable situation, we have to equalise supply and demand. And that means, yes, building more homes, but it does also mean looking at issues like habitual residence and making those timescales longer.
Okay, just this message from Cathy, Conor, which I think really goes to proving the point of these councillors who are tearing their hair out because they they can't push back against this misinformation. Cathy's been in touch with us to say, you're literally just proving that what people are saying on social media is correct. A large proportion of social housing is going to new arrivals above citizens living here and on lists for years. Publish the data. Transparency is needed. Now, I don't know how Cathy has come to that conclusion given the conversation that we have had, but I suppose it proves a point that the councillors are making today in this piece in the Irish Examiner, that people believe that this is true.
Well, I suppose there is a misconception out there that this is true, Claire. But I remember at one stage, you know, people believed that Miriam McCallaghan was selling face cream on Facebook until she took them to court. So there's an awful lot of mis and disinformation there on social media that's at the root cause of a lot of this. And we already have robust systems in place to qualify for social housing in this country, to even get on the list, notwithstanding the fact that if you get on the list, you're going to wait a considerable period of time to get an allocation. And we have also had issues whereby, you know, in cities like Dublin, we have had properties that have been vandalised because of misinformation on social media. Some of it was even being spread by elected reps on Dublin City Council. And we have also had situations where we have had buildings burnt out in this country that were earmarked for international protection or whatever. And it's in that context that we have had a lot of tension with these things. And I don't want a situation whereby something is released and people could become relatively easily identifiable.
All right, we need to leave it there. But thank you both for joining us. Conor Sheehan from the Labour Party and Padraig Tobin from AIM2. Still to come on the show this morning, airlines soon won't be allowed to charge you extra for your cabin bag. Is that something that you would welcome? Let us know. 087 1400 106.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9. On News Talk. Conversation that counts.